Good morning. Today's daf Nidos Chaf Hey. We're in Chaf Dalamid Beis. We are starting this morning about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud with the words Tanya. It's right in the middle of the line. This parak of Nida, the third parak, is dedicated to the topic of Tumas Leida. A woman gives birth. So if the baby is healthy, or even if Rachmanos, the baby is not healthy and the baby did not come out. But as long as the baby is formed enough where it looks like a viable human or would have been a viable human, so the mother is Metame Tumas Leida. Tumas Leida, as we discussed in general, is the tumah that arrives with the birth of a child. It depends on the gender in terms of the length of days that she's going to be Tameya. If it's a boy, she'll be Tameh for a total of 40 days, broken down into 733, 7 days in which she cannot be with her husband, 33 days where she can be with her husband. After the conclusion of 40 days, on the 41st day, she's going to bring karbanos, achatos and anola. And then she will be able to go back into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos. For a female, she gave birth to a female, so everything I said except all the numbers are doubled. 14 days in which she cannot be with her husband, 66 days in which she can be with her husband, and on the 81st day, she'll be bringing karbanos. What we've been spending our time doing since the beginning of this parak is really going through the details of what exactly is a formed human being. The parameters in which a woman will be a Tumas Leida is going to be where it comes out, where either it is a viable fetus or a viable baby, or it could have been a viable baby based on its structure. If, however, it looks like, first of all, it's so deformed, it doesn't even look human in composition, so then she's not going to be a Tumas Leida. What I just said is very controversial. The first mission of the parak brought down a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda on this very topic, in terms of what if it comes out looking like so deformed like an animal, would she be metame Tumas Leida? Rav Meir says she would, but the Chacham says she would not. We pass like the Chachamim. And then what we've been discussing since then, and the Gemara spent some time with Rav Meir, and then what we're discussing since then is, we're assuming the position of the Chachamim, what exactly, what evidence do we need to see that there was actually a viable fetus? We did a Mishnah yesterday on Chavdal Medbeis. The Mishnah talks about where she gave birth to either an embryo or an embryonic sac. The embryonic sac was really not clear whether it would have been a viable fetus. It was filled with water, it was filled with blood, it was filled with multiple colors. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah says we do not concern ourselves with the fact that it is a viable fetus. If, however, merukam, if let's say we saw some definition in the developing embryo, so teshel v'zachon nekeva. So what we're going to do, it says the Mishnah, is treat her like a fetus, and therefore, if it comes out of her, if she miscarries it, she's going to be metame Tumas Leida in terms of the number of days, zachon nekeva. Well, we don't know gender, and so therefore, we have to assume the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is that if it was a girl, so that's 14 days of tuma. If it was a boy, that only is a maximum of 40, you only get up to the 40th day. So you take up to the 40th day, you subtract 14, and 26 days of Yemei Tahara. The Mishnah then went on to describing having either a sandal or a shilya. A sandal is a crushed fetus, and a shilya is an afterbirth. Those are topics we're going to be discussing later on. It's not really coming up in today's daf. At the end of today's daf, we'll start discussing the topic of sandal. Picking it up right where we left off yesterday, we're on Chavdal Amid Beis, about 8 lines from the bottom with the words Tanya. Tanya Abishal Omer, Vitema Rebbe Yochanan, Kover Mesim Hayisi. So I used to be a grave digger, and I would bury the dead. The reason why the Gemara brings it up over here is because if you remember right at the end of yesterday's daf, we also described Abishal being a Kover Mesim, a grave digger, and what he would do is he would have a lot of experience of looking at bones, and he would create correlations. He would study correlations between the various behaviors of these people during their lifetime and what their bones look like. And he observed the correlations. People who drank undiluted wine, diluted wine, who ratio of eating to drinking is anything distorted. So he went over the various connections between how they live their lives and what their bodies look like post-mortem. So, along those lines, the Gemara now is going to continue. Now, here in the continuation, the previous Gemara was clearly meant to be understood literally, meaning he was actually giving us a view of his understanding of the sciences regarding behavior and how it correlates to the effects of the body. Over here, I think it's fair to say that the Gemara over here is not to be understood in its literal sense, but Let's first read the Gemara, and then we can, you know, and then we can gauge in terms of how literal the Gemara is meant over here. So v'itemer Rav Yochanan kover meisim ha'yisi. So I was a burier of the dead, and pamachas ratzi achir tzvi. So at one point in time, I saw a tzvi, I saw a deer, and I ran after it. V'nichnasi b'kolos shel meis. And what happened was is that I chased him, and we went into a thigh bone. The thigh bone at that point in time was empty, and they ran into it. Now you got to be thinking about a very large thigh bone if you could be running into the thigh bone, right? I don't know. I haven't done much in terms of the pathologies and the looking at thigh bones, and I don't really know how wide it is a normal human thigh bone once you remove the marrow. But it's fair to say that you're not going to be running through it. So v'rasi acharo shalosh parsos, and now while going through the thigh bone, so we went three parsos through the thigh bone. Utsvilo igati v'kulis lo kalta. Two fails. One, I never caught the deer, and two, I never even got to the end of the thigh bone. Shechazati l'achol, right? So backtrack. So I now have to go back to where I came in. Amrli shel Og Melech HaBashan Haisa. Perhaps you saw this coming. And so the thigh bone belonged to Og Melech HaBashan. The Og is a personality in Chumash. We see a little, but the Medrash loves discussing a lot. But meanwhile, however, a giant of a man, and so therefore his thigh bone was enormous, and that was the thigh bone that we were running through. Okay, the Gemara over here is to be understood literally, probably more to be understood on a Gaddic level, and probably ideas and lessons to be taught over here. That run deep.
Contradicts the Psukim, because the Psukim give measurements of his head. It's much smaller than that.
Yeah, the Psukim do describe him as a giant, but describe him as a giant in a way that, like, we could, right, begin to imagine. Over here, we're giving unbelievable proportions, fantastic proportions of a human body, where you can actually, the first idea, you could walk through the center of the thigh bone. That already is a fantastic proportion. Tanya Abishal Omer Kover Mesim Haizi Bamachas Niftacha Ma'ara. Abishal gives another description of him burying the dead. And there was the ground opened up. And a cave opened up. Tachti V'amarati B'Gilgal Eino Shomeis. And I find myself standing now within somebody's eye socket. So again, a fantastic measurement of somebody's eye socket where you can actually stand in there. Ad Chotmi. Now, I was so deep in the eye socket that basically I was up to my nose in the eye socket. And then when I came out, so then I realized that it was the eye of Avshalom. Avshalom being the son of David HaMelech. Avshalom who had a rebellion against his father and did a number of other things that were, aside from rebelling, a number of other things that were unseemly, notably with his father's concubines. And so the idea over here is that his eye was very large, meaning not physically, but that's, you know, he went after what his eye saw. So again, the Gemara over here probably to be better understood on the level of drush and not on the level of literally speaking. Now v'shematomer Abishal nanasava. Now you'll say to me at this point in time, Abishal is now fitting into a thigh bone and resting in somebody's eye socket, and so maybe he's very short. The Gemara says that's not true. Abishal aruch b'doro hava. He's very tall. In his generation, he was the tallest. Rabbi Tarfon magilek tefo. And Rabbi Tarfon only got up to his shoulders. And over here now what we're going to do is, wonderfully, we're going to go from Rabbi to Talmud, and we're going to go through a number of generations of the Mesorah. And the basic idea is that the next generation is only going to be shoulder height of the generation beforehand. We have a general idea throughout Shas of Niskatnu Hadoros. As you move from one generation to the next, generations diminish. I know the Gemara here speaks in terms of literal diminishment, where one generation is shorter than the other. But again, I'll repeat, that probably the Gemara here is better understood in terms of a Derech Adrush. So Rabbi Tarfon only went up to the shoulders of Rabbi Abishal. Rabbi Tarfon, Aruch Bedoro Haya Hava V'Ramir Magil Ketefo. Now Rabbi Tarfon was tallest in his generation, and Rabbi Meir, the next generation, only goes up to a shoulder height. Rabbi Meir, Aruch Bedoro Haya V'Rabbi Magil Ketefo. Now after Rabbi Meir, the next Tkufa is Rabbi. So we went from Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Meir, to Rabbi. And Rabbi only made the shoulder lengths of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Aruch Bedoro Hava V'Rabbi Chia Magil Ketefo. And then the next Kufa is Rabbi Chia. And Rabbi Chia Aruch Bedoro Hava V'Rav Magil Ketefo. And then we went from Rabbi Chia down to Rav. And Rav only reached the shoulder length of Rabbi Chia. By the way, Rav was not only a Talmud of Rabbi Chia, but Rav on top of that was also a nephew of Rabbi Chia. Rav Aruch Bedaro Hava Rav Yehuda Magila Ktefo. Rav Yehuda only reached the shoulder length of Rav. Meaning to say that Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Rav, again, Niskatnu Adoros. Rav Yehuda Aruch Bedaro Hava Adadalia Magila Ktefo. And Rav Yehuda being the tallest in his generation, and Adadalia, Ada was his name. Dalia says Rashi over here on the bottom of the Amud, Shamish the Rabbanan. So he was a gabbai, and he served the Chachamim and Magilak Tefo. And even though he was in the next generation, one of the leaders of the next generation, he only arrived at the shoulder length of the generation before, meaning Rav Yehuda. And then finishing up over here, as we now turn to the top of Chafem and Aleph, Parshtavina de Pumpadisa Kai Lei La'ad Dadalia Ad Palgei. Now we move on to the next generation, and here a dramatic departure from the average diminishment. The average diminishment we were talking about was basically each one only went up to the shoulder. But now as we moved up to the generation beyond Adadalia, you go to the Parshtavina. Parshtavina, says Rashi, is the name of a person. Tosus disagrees. He only got up to the midpoint of Adadalia. V'kulei amakai leParshtavina dePumpadisa adChartzei. And as far as everybody else relative to Parshtavina, so they only arrived at his loins, meaning they didn't even get up to the midpoint. Okay, so again, the basic idea of the Gemara over here, Niskatnu Hadoros, the generation is diminished. The Gemara speaks about it from a linear standpoint, from a height standpoint. But again, the Gemara is probably better understood in terms of Drush, and just in terms of the idea that the earlier generations were greater than the later generations. Shalofanav Rebbe, Amapel Shpir Malay Basar Mahu. What if the embryo or the embryonic sac is filled with basar? What would be the halacha then? Okay, so once again, we're looking at the discharge of a fetus, but we're talking about a really early stage of fetal development. So we are somewhere within the embryonic stage. Embryonic stage is, I'm giving modern terminology, but somewhere between 2 to 8 weeks of gestation, of fetal development. And so over here, we're looking at a spear. We're looking at this really undeveloped embryo. And it was filled with basar. What would be the halacha? Now, remember the Mishnah, we talked about the spear that was filled with either water or blood or ginunim or multicolors. But in other words, but it didn't have any kind of definition. So basically, it was a really, really early stage of development. It looked like a little sack, and it was filled with liquids. So in the Mishnah, we said that the mother is not Tamei Leida. That's what we said back in the Mishnah. Here, in our discussion, we are advancing the discussion. And here, we're talking about a case now where this little embryo, or this little small little embryonic sac, is filled now with flesh. So so what do we say at this point in time? So it has no definition, but at least now it looks like it actually is filled with something of mass. So Amar Lam Lo Shamati. So Rebbe said, I don't know. I'm not familiar. Amar Lefana Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rav Yossi Kach Amar Abba. So Rebbe Shmuel Bar Rav Yossi was there, is now quoting his father, i.e. Rebbe Yossi, and he says, Melo Dam Tamei Anida, Melo Basar Tamei Leida. So he gave an answer, but he actually gave two answers. He said that if the sac itself was filled with blood, so then she would be a nida. And if the embryonic sac was filled with flesh, so then that would be tumas leida. Okay, so that was his answer. So he did answer the question. He answered it directly and clearly. However, he actually added a point, meaning the question was not what if it was filled with blood, but he answered that question as well. So when I say he answered that question, there was no question to answer. He gave another piece of information in addition to discussing the embryonic sac. So Amar Lei Ilmalei Davar Chadash Amarti Lanu Mishum Avicha Shaman Ucha. So they say to him, look, if you would have just said Davar Chadash, if you would have just said the Chiddush regarding the embryonic sac that was filled with flesh, and if that's all you said and you quoted your father, Dayenu, that would have been great. However, Achshav Mida Kamaisa Kichida Kamar Kisumcha Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir Hanam Mishem Kerabbi Yeshua Amra Vein Alachi Kerabbi Yeshua. You see, here's the problem. The problem is that you talked about the embryonic sac that was filled with blood. And you said that if that comes out of her, she's now a nida. Now, that statement is following not the popular position, not the majority position, But that statement is following a minority position, that is Simchas. And that takes us back early in the Masechta to the first daf of the Masechta, that's all the way back in Chaf Aleph, where the Gemara over there cited a number of opinions, and one of them was the opinion of Simchas. Simchas said that if you have blood coming out of her, but the blood was encased, so Simchas was of the opinion that such a woman is a Nida. That is not a consensus position. That is a minority position. So since your first statement was following a minority position, I'm now suspecting that your second statement also is following a minority position. And so therefore, I'm not disputing the Masorah that you have, but I just wonder now, are you expressing a majority position or just a minority position? And whose minority position is it? Rabbi Yoshua. D'tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. Hamapel Shpir She'enu Merukam. So the woman now discharged a embryonic sac, and there was no definition. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Vlad. So Rabbi Yoshua says, okay, we're going to call that a fetus, and therefore she's Tamei Tumas Leida. V'chachamim Amar Me'en Vlad. And the Chachamim say that it is not a Vlad. So maybe now the statement that you're quoting with the name of your father, Rabbi Yossi, is just simply a statement that's according with Rabbi Yeshua, which is not the accepted halacha.
It's not your uterine blood if it's encased.
Is it not uterine blood? Well, if you remember, I mean, we discussed this on the first daf of the Masechta, where basically what happened was that we were discussing an undefined mass that came out of her, and the undefined mass was the color of blood. So is it possible that's Dam Nida, and that's uterine blood, and it just simply congealed? So if you remember, that was a major debate and discussion on Daf Chaf Aleph. And then the Gemara brought in a whole number of positions. You want to see Simchas' position, it's a little bit below the halfway point on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis.
You're putting the water, huh?
Huh? That was one of the opinions. There was a lot of opinions over there. So anyway, but that's a Shitas Yachid. And we don't follow that position. So Amr Shema Melakish, Mishum Rabbi Yoshi, Machlok is Bachor. Okay. Now, what we have over here so far is a machlokus regarding an embryonic sac that was filled, and the question becomes: is it all suggestible that this is really the beginning of a fetus, the initial stages of development of a fetus, and therefore, if she discharges it, she will be metamei tumas leida. So in the braisa that we just quoted, we had a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yoshua. We talked about an undefined embryonic sac coming out of her, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's a vlad, and the Chachamim say it's not a vlad. And now on that, the Gemara is now going to bring in another machlokus within this machlokus. The entire debate over here is where the embryonic sac was filled with achor. Now the way Rashi describes it, achor over here is that it was a liquid, but it was a liquid that you could not see through. Okay, it was extraordinarily opaque, and so therefore, it's now at least more possible that this is the beginning of fetal development. However, if, let's say, the liquid inside was solid, was clear, and you could see through it more or less, and we'll actually discuss more or less over the course of this daf, but you could see through the liquid, so then there's no machlokus. According to Reish Lakish, everyone's in agreement. This is not fetal development, and when she discharges it, she's not going to be metamei tumas leida. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Bitzalo Machlokes. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi argues. Now we know one part of his position, and that is that the Machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is in a scenario where the liquid that the embryonic sac is containing is a clear liquid. We still have a Machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yeshua would say that that's a Vlad, and the Chachamim say that's not a Vlad. Now, on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position, what if it was an opaque liquid? So under those circumstances now, is he going to say that there is still disagreement? Is he saying that there's going to be agreement that that is the beginning of fetal development? Gemara's next question. And the Gemara leaves it as an unknown. In terms of within the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in his understanding of the machlokus of Rabbi Yoshua and the Chachamim, is there a machlokus by amniotic sac filled with clear liquid? Embryonic sac filled with clear liquid and opaque liquid, or just by clear liquid but not by opaque liquid. The Gemara leaves this one detail unresolved. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges from a Braisa. It's that Darush Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Vayasa Hashem Elokim la'Adam l'ishto, kasnos or vayabishem. Kadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and his wife some sort of clothing in order for them to put it on. Now, kasnos or is some sort of leather clothing. It's a hide. Malamishena Kadosh Baruch Hu osa or la'Adam, ela im kein notzar. So, the idea over here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu's first creation when it comes to a person is going to be his skin. Meaning that, and I got a crash course yesterday in the various in various fetal development in terms of the three parts of embryonic formation and the endoderm, the ectoderm, the mesoderm. But anyway, but the point is of Rabbi Yoshua is that if the skin is being formed, if Hakadosh Baruch Hu is creating skin, so that means to say that there will be a development of a creation, meaning there will be life, so or at least potential life. So elam kinotzar ama bor talia milsa. So you see that the skin is critical. Loshna achor veloshna tzalo. And so therefore, what is in the embryonic sac doesn't really matter, as long as you start having the exterior of the embryonic sac form, the skin of the embryonic sac or the embryo that's formed, that already is the beginnings of life. And so therefore, that is considered the beginning stages of fetal development. And if she discharges that, she, the mother, would be metamet masleida. Now, let's see, because again, what are we trying to figure out? Meaning, we know what Rabbi Yoshua's position is. It was clearly articulated both in the Brisa above and in the Brisa we just quoted. What we want to know is the extent of the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and the Chachamim. To what degree do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yoshua? So if you want to tell me, that they're arguing about where it's a clear liquid inside, that's why the Pasuk was brought down. But if the debate between the Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is only where the liquid inside is opaque, so there, are we talking about a drasha? We're talking really about a svara. Meaning, what's the svara? Well, if you see now the beginning stages of an embryo, and it's filled with something that's not clear, so that probably is the beginning of fetal development. That would be Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim, on a svara perspective, are arguing. But if we're talking about a clear liquid inside, is it going to be a fetal development? If I only left up to svara, probably not. And yet in the Brisa, Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, I'm not leaving it up to svara. I have a pasuk that tells me that that's considered fetal development. So you see over here that, as Rabbi Yeshua is quoting the pasuk, it must be that Rabbi Yeshua is taking a position regarding an embryo filled with clear liquid. So you see over here from this Brisa, it's, pun intended, it's clear that they're arguing about where the embryo is filled with a clear liquid. According to Rav Nachman, the debate is where it was filled with a non-clear liquid. But according to Rav Nachman, if what was filled in the embryo was a clear liquid, that is not a vlad. The challenge to Rav Nachman comes from a Mishnah in Bechoros. The Mishnah in Bechoros talks about what are various signs that either an animal or a human woman have given birth historically. So when it comes to a small animal, so the Mishnah over there describes tinuf. A small discharge of blood is in fact an indication that there was something developing and forming inside of her. Unfortunately, the animal miscarried. She discharged it. But when it comes to a small animal, you're not going to see a lot of the remains of the fetal development. You'll see tinuf. You'll just see a little bit of a stain, a little patch of blood coming out of the miscarriage. When it comes to a large animal, shilya. So for the large animal, what you have to see is more evidence that there was fetal development going on inside. You have to see an afterbirth. Bi'isha shpir v'shilya. And when it comes to a woman, so what signs do we need regarding a woman, a human, in terms of establishing that there was fetal development inside of her? So what you need to see is either spear, some sort of embryo, developing embryo or embryonic sac, or shilya, or you need to see afterbirth. One of the two. Now, the ilush bir bemehem lo pater. Now, when it comes to an animal, so it's very clear in the Mishnah, the contrast between small animal, large animal, and a human. Now, when it comes to a large animal, so we said that the only telltale sign that there was fetal development is only if we see shilya. By a large animal, there was shpir was not there, as opposed to a woman, where a shpir is going to be a telltale sign. Now, let's, with all that stated, let's put all of it together. So, we'll say like this. If we're talking about where the embryo was filled with a clear liquid, so then there would be, and there's a machlokus, so good. So now I understand what is the difference between a large animal and a woman. Meaning, if it's for svara, if it were svara purposes, I would say that basically it's the same developmental pattern. It's the same biology, or it's not same, similar enough biology, where I would say, well, if this is a developmental fetus when it comes to a large animal, it's the same thing is true with a woman. By virtue of the fact that we have a clear distinction, what is that distinction riding on? Oh, it must be riding on the psukim that we darshaned. So if it's riding on the psukim that we darshaned, so then I understand that for a woman, shpir is going to be a telltale sign, that was the beginning of fetal development. For an animal, it's not a sign. Lo pater bashpir. Ela iamar bachor machlokes. But again, if we're talking about an embryo that was filled with not a clear liquid, but what seems to be some sort of biological liquid, so now, what is that? That's a svara. And again, the Gemara is going to make now the same point. Michti, svarahu, maishna isha, maishna mehema. So if you're now making an argument, a svara argument, that, well, if it has now an opaque liquid inside, that is the beginning of fetal development, not because we have a drasha, but simply because, again, common sense, a little bit of observation, it's the beginning of fetal development. Well, then it wouldn't make a difference whether we're talking about a woman or whether we're talking about a large animal. So the Gemara is basically wondering, so it comes out now that it makes much more sense to suggest that the machlokus regarding an embryo is only when it was filled with a clear liquid, not an opaque liquid. And so, again, the Gemara now is challenging, and it sounds like the position of an embryo being, or at least taking into consideration that it is fetal development is even when it's filled with clear liquid. The Gemara tries to sidestep. Mitzvahs Rabbi Yeshua Mishra Pashilei, Rabbi Yeshua Sefuka Misafkelei. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yeshua is not saying that he knows definitively that it's filled with a clear liquid, it's going to be the beginning of fetal development. What Rabbi Yeshua is saying is that it is a possibility. It remains within the realm of, yes, it's possible. But he's not saying it definitively. And so therefore, he's always going to take a more stringent approach. Gabi isha de mamona hu safik mamona lakula. So look, by a woman, so it becomes now a monetary issue. What does that mean, a monetary issue? Because consider that as far as the woman is concerned, so what significance, halachic significance, do we need to know that this embryo that developed inside of her is in fact the beginning of a fetus? So so as far as a woman's concerned, so we need to know it legabe pigeon aben, right? Look at Rashi. Hachal chomer v'hachal chomer. Rashi gabe b'chorz behema amar delav vladu v'lo pater esabach rav di amar pater esgazit pater kagazis va'avid be'avoda v'dim alav vladu haukama v'kasile lidei takala. So the way Rashi sets it up, it goes like this. When it comes to an animal, so we know a bechor of an animal, so that has kedusha. Kedusha somei rechem. And so therefore you're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work it. And so therefore, what Rabbi Yoshua is saying is that when it comes to an embryo coming out of an animal, because it may not be fetal development, so that means to say that this wasn't the bechor, and the next one is going to be a bechor, and he's not, and because he doesn't know, we have to take into consideration the next one is going to be a bechor. Because if we don't say that, we may be violating the isurim of the Torah of Giza and Avoda on the bechor. Gabi Tumas Vlad Azul Chomra Dekamer Vlad Huvet Tmei Shvayim VeYimei Torah Lo Sfira LeDinei Sivla. So, and as far as Tumas Leda is concerned, so there we're going to be machmir, i.e., we're going to give her 2 weeks of being Tmei. Now Rashi over here points out, what about the Yemei Torah afterwards? Well, because we don't know for sure that it was the fetus, so therefore we're not going to give her the Yemei Torah, only the Yemei Tumah. And Gabe Bechor Adam Rashi, the Kula Hida Kamar Patros Abacharav, Velo Ichbalan De'en Kedusha Sobe Bechor Adam, Ela Mamon Kohen, Hei Salayim. And when it comes to now a human, so the only thing that it's going to affect, because a human does not have Kedusha. I know, we've gone over this before. Right? If you've ever been to a pigeon, then it sounds like there's Kedusha in the human. But there's no Kedusha in the human. What it simply means now is that you have to shell out money to the Kohen for the mitzvah pigeon aben. And so therefore, now the Kohen goes over to the father and says, okay, I'll take the money. And the father says, wait 1 second. Rachmanus, unfortunately, we had a miscarriage beforehand. And even though that miscarriage was just an embryo, and even though it was just filled with a liquid, and even though the liquid was a clear liquid, but still, there is a chance, there's a possibility that that, in fact, was a Bechor. And so therefore, you're coming after my money. We know the rule, Rashi says at the very end, Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. You need to give me definitive proof that this money in fact belongs to you. So what the Gemara is saying, and let me just read this again in the Gemara. Misvar is Rabbi Yeshua, Misha Pashile, Rabbi Yeshua, Sifuke Mesafkele, Vazohachalachoma, Gabi Isha, and I know I did this all in Rashi, so I'm just going to read this quickly. Gabi Isha de Mamonahu, Safik Mamonah Lakula. So when it comes to a woman, a human woman, so it's just a Mamon issue, meaning Pijin Aben, 5 Salim. And so therefore we're going to be Mekel. Gabe behema di surahu di ikal agabe v'giza v'avoda safik yisura lechumra. And as far as an animal is concerned, again, we have the other possibility where the first discharge was not a fetus, and so therefore the next one is the bechor with an isur of giza v'avoda. Hachinami gabe isha sfeik tuma lechumra. And as far as a woman is concerned regarding a tuma tahara, so we're going to be machmir. In safik tuma, we're going to be machmir. Okay. That was a lot. But basically, what the Gemara now has revised is the idea that a embryo that was clear, that was filled with a liquid, be it clear, be it dirty, we're not saying that according to Rav Yeshua, it's definitively a Vlad. All we're simply saying is that it's within the realm of possibility. And so therefore, when you have a suffix, now you have to take in count. If we're talking about Isra Vehetor, like the Bechor of an animal, Machmir. If we're talking about Mamonus, like the Bechor Adam, Mekel. If we're talking about Tumat Tahara, like a Tumas Leida, Machmir. Okay, so just basically, we're just going to have to realize what we're discussing and the question of whether we could be Mekel or Machmir. Umi Mesafke Lei V'Hakra Kamar. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Remember, about a third of the way down on the Amud, Rabbi Yeshua quoted a Pasuk. And that is called a drasha. Drasha doesn't generally fall within the realm of suffix. When you have a drasha, when you're quoting a pasuk and you have a drasha, it sounds like we're saying it definitively. And the Gemara's response, Medirabban v'kras machtaba amahu. And okay, the Gemara says, look, I know it sounds like a drasha, but it's not a bona fide drasha. It's his position, but the truth of the matter is that the pasuk is there only serving as an asmachta, a support for his position, but it's not the source of his position. Amle Rav Chanina Bar Shammai LaRav HaRebi HaRebi Shma B'Rebi Yossi VaHaRebi Yoshia VaHaRebi Yeshua Ben Levi Mar Keman Tzvirale. So the Gemara asks now a wonderful question regarding an embryo filled with liquid. Be it clear, be it opaque. What is the status of the mother vis-a-vis Tumas Leida? If at this point in time you're good and confused, this is where the Gemara is right now. Good and confused. Well, not confused, but we have so many positions in which We saw Rebbe. We saw Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. We saw Rebbe Yoshia. We saw Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. There have been so many positions on this issue. And so now the question that was asked to Rav is a really simple one. Who do we follow like? Okay, wonderful. So Amar Ani Omer Echazev Echazein Echosheshes. So Rav's response is, you want my opinion? Okay, I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is that if it's an embryo and it's filled with a liquid, and it doesn't matter whether the liquid is clear or opaque, under either circumstance, eino chosheshes. I do not believe that this is the beginning of fetal development. If the woman discharges this, the woman is not mitami tamas leida. Ushmul amar echazev echazev chosheshes. Shmuel, on the other hand, is of the opinion that when the embryo comes out and it's filled with a liquid, clear or opaque, either way, we are concerned that this is the beginning of fetal development. Okay, so When the Gemara seeks for the bottom line, the Gemara almost gets it. Almost. But in other words, but it comes down to a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of which way we're going to go. V'az de Shmuel atamei. Now Shmuel is consistent. D'chi also Rav Dimi amra me'olam lo dach rishpir b'naharda. So in Naharda, so for all the miscarried embryos that came out of the woman, so they were never mitire the woman except one time. Now we're going to go over the one exception in just a moment, but that means to say that even though it was an embryo, and even though it was filled, and even though it was only filled with a liquid, and even if the liquid was clear, so they always were concerned with the fact, with the idea that this is the beginning of fetal development. And because there is a concern of that, that's a real consideration, so therefore we're going to be machmir. The woman is going to be matame to masleda, misafek. And again, misafek means that she'll be, we're going to assume that it was a female, and so therefore she'll be tummy for 14 days. And as far as giving her the Yemei Tohar, so that we won't do, because the other possibility, of course, is that it wasn't, it could be a man, but it could also be that this wasn't even a fetus. And so therefore, the only thing that she's going to be observing in terms of a Chumrah is only going to be the 14 days of being a Tamea. There is one exception of one embryo that came out of the woman where they said that she is not Tamei Leida. What's that one exception? The Gemara goes through it. So there was an embryo that was brought in front of Shmuel for him to examine it. Now it happened to have been that this what appeared to be an embryo. Now I know I keep saying embryo. Keep in mind, it's a sac, meaning it's some sort of filled sac. You know, I'm just using the word embryo just so, you know, we can converse. But obviously, it wasn't. And what did he do in order to prove it? What he basically did is he held a hair on one side while he was on the other side. He's looking now through the sack. And what does he see over here? He sees the hair. In other words, it was such a clear sphere, it was such a clear ball, that he says there's no way that this could have been the beginning of any kind of fetal development. Amar im isa davlad havai. Lo havazig kulehai. It would not have been this clear if there was any kind of developing fetus within the sac. Okay. Finally, when all said and done, now we can ask what's the halacha? Mm-hmm. Meaning, after all the Tanaim and Amoraim expressed positions, and Rav and Shmuel both also recorded their halachic psak, so which way do we go? So it's interesting. Generally speaking, where do we stand on these issues? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel when it comes to Isser, so we normally follow like Rav. And Rav over here is the Mako. So one could conjecture that the halacha over here falls like Rav. Happens to be, I did not look it up any further. I didn't see the Rambam on this, but it begs the question: where does the who do we follow like? Do we follow like Rav or do we follow like Shmuel? Okay, Imaya Maruka. Okay, now we're moving along developmentally. We discussed up until now an embryonic sac that was filled with a liquid, clear versus opaque, et cetera, et cetera. First half of today's daf. Now what we're going to be discussing is that the embryo has got some definition. And some definition now is going to make the difference between it may or may not be a fetus versus we now know for sure that it's a fetus. So once we see development, and so what the Gemara is going to do beautifully, meaning keep in mind, we are now reading their view of embryonic development written over 1,700 years ago, without the help of any kind of the views that we get are magnificent. We have unbelievable technology that gets us these unbelievable views. So obviously, what are they working with in terms of their knowledge base, in terms of what embryonic development looks like? So discharges, autopsies, of pregnant women, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not saying that autopsies are allowed or condoned. I'm just simply saying that there was empirical evidence that they had. But, of course, they weren't working with anything that we're working with in terms of technology. But still, it's going to be magnificent in terms of their description of the early embryonic stage of human development. Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Shpir Merukam. So give me an example of an embryo that it starts to have some definition. Abishal Omer, we're back to Abishal, right? We started this morning with Abishal, right? Our grave digger, and really knowledgeable in anatomy, and so we go back to Abishal. So it starts now with a head, meaning the first thing that you're going to see in terms of true definition is going to be the head. In terms of the eyes, what's the eye of this embryo going to look like? It's going to look like bug eyes. A braisa teaches us that the eyes are actually far apart from one another. Again, in the early stages of fetal development, it will look like that the eyes are far from one another. In terms of nostrils, you're going to basically see two holes. Tani Rabbi Chiya umekuravim zel lazeh. Rabbi Chiya teaches us in a braisa that they're really close to one another. Upiv masuch kechut ha-sa'ara. In terms of the early stages of the development of a mouth, you'll see just basically a hair. Chut ha-sa'ara, just a hairline indicating the development of a mouth. Ugviyaso ke'adasha. In terms of its male organ, if it's a male, so it is going to be the size of an adasha, lentil bean. V'imaisa nekeva nidona kisa'ara la'arka. And if it's a woman, so there is going to be the beginning of the genitalia of a woman. Again, chut kisa'ara, just a hair. V'chatuch yadayim v'raglayim ein lo. In terms of definition of fingers and toes, so not at this embryonic stage. V'alam mefurish b'kabbalah. And we have a pasuk in Kabbalah. You know when the Gemara refers to Kabbalah. So it's referring to Navi. In this case, Eov. So, halo kechalav chatichani. Ukegvina takbi'eni. So in Eov, he's describing the beginning of his formation in utero. And he says, I was like milk. Rashi over here describes that as the zera going into the woman and basically curdling. Right. Again, it's just wonderful imagery. Right. We give it more modern and advanced terminology for it, but we're all looking at the same thing. We're all describing the same thing. So basically, it is the zera going into the woman, and then the Gemara describes it. I'm sorry, the pasuk and Eov describes it as like a curdling as the now move from zera to the beginning of the developmental stage. Right. In modern gestation, the zygote stage. So or ubaso talbisheni. And then a skin developing on top of it. And then bones and sinews. This is all still part of the Pesukim and Eov. Kindness. And my spirit followed all the rules, all the laws. And in terms of doing an examination with this embryo, with this newly formed, just nascent form embryo, so you do not use water to check it, because water, it's not going to be able to withstand the water. It's going to be tordin oso, as we turn to the top of the next amud. It's going to really knock it out. So elabotin oso b'shemen, shashemen rach umitzach tzichol. So if you want to clean it up to get a better look at it, so don't clean it in water, but use oil. Ve'in roen ela b'chama. And when you're looking at it, look in the sun. Now, how do you check it? What do you mean, how do you check it? We just said how you checked it. So, Ella, Bame Botkinoso, Leida im Zachaim Nekeva. So now you have this embryo that came out, and it starts to have definition. And so, therefore, the woman's to male Leida. And so now, at this early stage, could we ascertain as to whether it's male or female? And again, it's significant because we want to know, is she going to be Tame for 733, 1466? So can we tell? So actually, the Gemara says yes. Even at this early embryonic stage, you could tell. What are you going to do? Im zachem nekeva hi, Abishal bar nash ve'amila Abishal bar ramash omer, two versions of who said it, maybe kisem shirosho chalak. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a toothpick, but with a very smooth end. Uminane boso makom. And what you're going to do is basically manipulate in that area. And if it catches, so then it's a male. It's the beginning of the male genitalia. Otherwise, it's a female. And in terms of manipulating the toothpick, so you have to make sure to be going in an up and down motion. Tremendous detail in the Gemara over here. You have to be going in an up and down motion. You cannot be going side to side. Because side to side, it may be a female, and it may catch on the female. If it's a female, so you're going to be seeing just the beginning, a hairline crack in that area. The Gemara wants to know, could this not be the beginning of formation of the testicle of a male? Amar Rabbi, hashta beitzim gufaya lo yadi, chusha beitzim yadiya. So the Gemara says no. No, at this point in time, at this early stage, there's not going to be neither the beitzim being developed or the chutzal beitzim, right? I think frenulum probably is what the Gemara is making reference to. Could be. Amr of Amram Tana Beis Yarkasav Kebeis Chutim Shel Zahoris. We're back to describing the embryo and its early stages. So there are two thighs. The two thighs are going to be looking like scarlet thread, right? The red thread. The Amr of Amram Allah Kishol Erev. We know that when it comes to thread, so we're back on the loom, and we're looking at the horizontal and the vertical. The vertical is the Shesi, the horizontal is the Erev, the horizontal is the thicker thread than that of the vertical. And so when we're describing now the red legs of the developing embryo, and we're saying it looks like a thread, we're comparing it to the Erev. That's the horizontal, which is just a little bit thicker. Ushnei Zorosav Kebeis Chutim Shel Zahoris. And the arms also look like red threads. V'amr of Amram, Allah Kishel Shesi. And here, we're looking at the vertical threads. They are smaller. Amr Lishmol Rav Yehuda Shinan Alo Savet Uvda Ad Shiyasir. So Shmuel turns to his Talmud Rav Yehuda Shinana. That was his name for his Talmud. He was a sharp one. And he says, don't do anything, meaning don't rule on it and don't call it definitively a fetus until you see hair. Hair is going to be the developmental sign that this is in fact a fetus. Now, remember, Shmuel just moments earlier in our daf today was always choshesh. The Gemara now notes, Umi amar Shmuel, hachiv amar Shmuel, achazev achazev choshesh. Didn't Shmuel say that we're going to be choshesh? And Shmuel was talking about where it was just liquid. A sack, and the only thing in the sack is a liquid. So, right, there's no hair. And now he's telling his student, don't do anything until you see hair. So you may tahara lo yavina le ash yasir. So it's the answer you probably expected. Meaning, if you're just seeing a sack and it's filled with liquid, so there, chashash, the concern, and achinami. Over here, however, what we're describing is, when can we say definitively that it's a fetus? Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So that's when the fetal development is such where you see definition, but Shmuel says, but even definition by itself is not enough. You need to see hair. L'meimer de mesafka le Shmuel v'ha'u shapir da'asa le'kamen de mar Shmuel amar habar arbin v'chad yoma. Now, Shmuel, as we all know, is a doctor, and this is really his proficiency. This is his field. Meaning not just medicine in general, but also he knew about fetal development, and he knew about it so much that the Gemara tells a story that really highlights his expertise. Let me go back just a couple of lines. Lemeimer de mesafka le Shmuel. Do you really think he had any doubts? V'ha ha'u shpira da'asa le'kamen de mar Shmuel. Now there was an embryo. Now this is a really early stages of development. Again, in modern gestation, an embryo is somewhere between 2 to 8 weeks. So here, we are at day 40. Okay, so day 40 now, that puts us a little bit after week number 5. Okay, anyway, so the approaching week number 6. Anyway, so Asa L'Kamen D'Mar Shmuel, Amar Harba Arbin V'Chad Yuma. So now Shmuel, with his proficiency, with his expertise, is able to tell you at what stage exactly we are gestation to the day. And he says that this embryo that I'm looking at right now has gone through 41 days of gestation. Okay, his level of expertise. Now, here's where it gets a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, it was the baby has now been gestated inside of her for 41 days. It also happens to be that the woman went to the mikvah only 40 days ago. And so now, this is simple math, if she went to the mikvah 40 days ago and the baby's been gestated now for 41 days, so that means that the conception took place before she went to the mikvah. Okay, husband and wife were together before she went to the mikvah. So, adu yoma velo hava ela arbin yomin, v'amalu hai benidabal. And so that now he knows, putting all his information together, right, it's uncomfortable, but it's just information. But once he puts all the information together, so now he realizes, oh, the man was with his wife while she was in Ida. Kafti va'ode. So he ties him up. You know, the back in the good old days. So, and he started beating the information out of him. And husband said, "You're right." So, Shmuel himself had tremendous proficiency to the point where he knew about the gestational periods to the day. And so now, how can Shmuel himself ever have any kind of doubt? Meaning, our daf today, where Shmuel said, you know, if you see a sack inside and you're not really sure and it's filled with liquid, you should be choshesh. And if you see definition, Shmuel says, that's not enough information. I'm still in the world of suffek. You got to see here. Well, why is Shmuel worried, concerned, suffek, and only with absolute certainty are we going to say that it was a fetus? Shmuel was an unbelievable expert on this matter. So the Gemara's answer, Shani Shmuel, the Rav Guvrai. Yeah. So if you're talking about Shmuel himself, okay, fine. Shmuel himself had this kind of expertise. Shmuel himself never really had any kind of doubts. However, as Shmuel now is telling over the halacha for the masses, and by the way, when I say masses, I mean even the Rabbanim, meaning he's telling the Rabbanim, here's how you're going to paskin. So they didn't have the kind of proficiency that he had. So he's not going to gauge it based on his knowledge base, because his knowledge base is fantastic. But he's going to gauge it based on what he assumes is the general knowledge base of the Rabbanim. Rabbanim know more or less how gestation and fetal development works, but not to the kind of expertise he has. So therefore, so there's a level of chshash and suffek at the early stages. And then in terms of certainty, he moves it forward to where you already start to see here. Okay. Hamapel sandam. Yeah, a little bit more. Okay, hamapel sandam. Tan Rabbanan. You know what? I take it back. This is a good place to stop. Where we start with the sandal. We'll start the sandal sugya nice and fresh tomorrow morning. Okay, let's recap. First half of today's daf, we spent a considerable amount of time talking about an embryo that was discharged by the mother. And it's right now, it looks like an undefined embryonic sac. And at this point in time, is the mother going to be metametamas leida? The Gemara on Chafamad Aleph records numerous opinions amongst the Tanaim. And even after numerous opinions have been recorded, we get to the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, and even they have a debate on the issue. Rav is of the opinion that we are not choshesh if it's just an embryonic sac filled with just liquid, an undefined embryonic sac filled with just liquid. Rav says we're not going to be choshesh. And Shmuel's of the opinion, no, we are going to be choshesh. That was part one of today's daf. Part two of today's daf is definition. If you see definition in the embryo, so we could say it is fetal development. What kind of definition are we talking about? So masterfully, we quoted a pasuk in Eov, which the pasuk in Eov describes embryonic development. The Gemara itself also has traditions in terms of various mesorahs that it has regarding embryonic development. At what point do we say now that there's enough definition in which we could say confidently that this is the beginning of a fetus, and therefore the mother is metamet tumas leida? And also, bonus for today, examination, whether the embryo is either going to be male or female. So the Gemara also gave us a test for that as well. But when all said and done, Shmuel said, look, if you start to see some definition, it's still a suffix. Only when you see hair developing on the fetus, then and only then can we say for sure that we have arrived at definitive fetal development.